Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. Today is September the 23rd. It's a Wednesday. My name is Gary Zimak. Glad to be with you here. Today we're going to talk about something that we all know to some extent. We know that God will provide. We've heard that. We've heard that phrase. We've heard the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Your Father in heaven knows what you need. He will provide." We pray the Lord's Prayer. We pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." I mean, this is not a foreign concept, God's providence, divine providence, if you want to call it that. But do we really believe that? I think we do. Most of us do. And look, I'm speaking for myself. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for people that I've known. And many of us tend to believe this in a vague way. God will provide. But what role do we play in this? And we do play a role. It's not just a matter of us sitting back, letting him provide. We do nothing. And also, this belief that we have in God's providence really gets tested when we have to depend on it. You know, it's one thing to say God will provide, and then it's another thing entirely when you are forced to really wait for God to provide. I've been there. I'm still there. Being in full-time ministry, I know what it's like. But I'll share some of my stories with you. I believe it with all my heart. God will provide for us. He does provide for his creatures. There are a number of things that I look at as proof of that in my life. We see it in Scripture. But how do we deal with this on a day-to-day basis? There could be a chance, I would say there is a chance, a very good chance, that you're struggling with this today. So I want to look at the gospel. And also the first reading from today's Daily Mass, that's when this idea came to me to discuss this. Now, today's the feast of St. Padre Pio. One of his most well-known expressions is "pray, hope, and don't worry." This is a message that is near and dear to my heart. It fits in nicely with my ministry. I thought that this is what I'd be talking about on the program today. And yeah, it's a great message, "pray, hope, and don't worry." Maybe we will tie that in. Because as I'm saying that, I think there's a way to tie that into this message of God's providence. But we certainly want to ask for the intercession of St. Pio today. He is he's a heavyweight when it comes to believing in Jesus Christ and following his example. You know, so we're going to turn to St. Pio today for his intercession as well. So we're going to tie all this up, and hopefully we're going to package it up and give you a good show. That's my hope, but I'm going to really depend on the Holy Spirit for this to happen. How about if we pray and then we move on with the program? And I would invite you to join me. Please join me as we turn to our Father in heaven. And we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your presence, to address you, to call you Father, to reach out to you in the name of Jesus, to honor you, to worship you, to praise you, to thank you, and to ask you to help us with our needs, both spiritual and material. But before we do that, Father, we look at you, and we look at you with awe and reverence and astonishment when we think about who you are, what you've done, and how much you love us. You created the entire universe out of nothing. You created us out of nothing. You continue to provide for our needs because otherwise we wouldn't be alive. And yet you manage to make time for us always. Whenever we choose to turn to you, you're there. We believe that. It's an amazing and difficult concept to get through our minds. But we do believe that, Father. So with that, we confidently approach you, knowing that you want to grant us what we need. And we ask you, Father, to bless us, to bless our families, our friends, all those for whom we've been asked to pray, and ask you to grant all of our needs, spiritual and material, to grant them today for us, for our loved ones, for those who have asked for our prayers. Father, we also know that there are some things we ask for or we think we need but we don't really need, or things that they would cause, that will cause problems in our life if you gave them to us. So we wouldn't expect you to give us something that would harm us, and we recognize that you know more than we do, so there will be those occasions, and we know that. We ask you to give us our daily bread, what we need today, not what we want, not what we think is good for us. We ask for what is good for us. Please let us know, Father, what we can do for you. Please help us to trust you more. Help us to love you more. And help us to be willing to serve you more. Father, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us today. Please give me the words for this program. Please help me get out of your way, because I know you have a message. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to what you have to say to us. Heavenly Father, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, I should add, St. Padre Pio, pray for us, right? It's his feast day today. Anyway, I'm Gary Zimek, so glad to be with you on this episode of Following the Truth. Quick reminder, don't know when you're going to listen to this. I'm recording this in the afternoon prior to my appearance tonight on Catholic Answers Live. So if you get a chance, I'll be on Catholic Answers Live on the EWTN radio network this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, talking about my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress. And I hope you'll be able to tune in. If not, they'll have the podcast available. I will also be able to share it on Facebook as soon as I get the link. But I'm always looking for, I always look forward to being on the program with my buddy Cy Kellett. It's always a great experience to be able to talk about the good news of the gospel, right? Good news. That's all it is. It is good news. So hope you're able to catch that program today. Let me think. There's something else I want to, I thought there was something else I wanted to tell you, but I can't remember what it is. Maybe it'll come to me. If you want to find out more information about my work, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. By the way, I did receive confirmation that if you order the book, if you pre-ordered Let Go of Anger and Stress from Ave Maria Press, the books have started to arrive, so people are getting them. So if you pre-ordered your book, you're going to get it, or you have already gotten it. Amazon's going to take a little bit longer. The books are definitely on the way to Amazon. They're in the warehouse of Ave Maria, and there's always a little delay getting the books to Amazon. So if you pre-ordered from Amazon, I would expect it within the next week or two I would say the next week or so. The book has a release date of October the 2nd. I think you're going to see it within the next week sometime. So if you didn't pre-order it, make sure you do so. Followingthetruth.com is the best place to go. You can just click on the image right there, and then you will be able to order the book and get it as soon as you can. You're going to be hearing a lot more about the book. I'll try to keep you informed to the best of my ability. All right, let's take a look. I told you I want to talk about God's providence. This is a hot topic. This is one that all of us need to get better at. And I'm going to say that. That's a blanket statement, but I think we can all stand to better appreciate God's providence. No matter where we are, we can always appreciate it more. So, you know, in my in one of my books, I don't remember which one it was. It might have been From Fear to Faith, or it might have been A Warrior's Guide to the Bible. I'm sorry, I don't remember, but I tell the story of my days as a software developer. Now, one of the things about software people, it's funny, we tend to have a skepticism, or I don't know if it's something we go into the industry with, or we develop it while we're there. We just don't expect things to work. We don't expect people to use the programs right. When I was doing technical support and I would talk to customers on the phone and they're having problems with our computer programs, we don't expect them to give us the facts. You know, there's that skepticism and that that black and white true or false mentality that goes along with the software development field. That's the way they train us. So as a result, many times when we write a computer program and we run it, we don't expect it to work. You know, like you would think, like you produce a product, You write the code for a computer program. You would think that ideally, if you have enough confidence in your abilities, you would expect it to work. But there's that tendency to sort of be shocked when it works. And I tell this story in the book, saying that it's in a lot of ways we pray in the same manner, or we trust God in the same way. Like, we ask Him, we trust Him, we throw up the prayer, and when He comes through for us and answers it, we're shocked. Like, oh my gosh, He answered. It's almost as if we don't expect Him to answer. It's the same way when I would write a computer program and it would work the first time. I would be amazed, like, I can't believe it. It's actually working. Again, that's cynicism that goes along with the software industry. But I think many people believe that way when they pray. So therefore, this topic of God will provide, we believe it and we'll pray for our needs. But then when the Lord comes through, and I have seen this over and over again, when He comes through, it blows us away. It's almost as if we're shocked that He really was able to pull this off. And I think the more you see Him in action, at least this is what I found, the less shocked you are when He does provide and comes through in the clutch, because He's really good like that. So today, these mass readings, they hit me when I was at church earlier today. And I thought this is a really important topic to talk about. As I like to do sometimes, I do this on my weekly program when I look at the Sunday mass readings, I start with the gospel. And I want to do that because the church teaches that the gospel has a place of prominence as far as biblical, the books of the Bible goes. The four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they stand above the other books even in the Bible, even though they are all the word of God. The gospels are extra special, if you will, okay? So let's look at the gospel from today's mass. It's Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. This is the scenario where Jesus is sending off His apostles. He got the 12 apostles together and is sending them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He gives them a mission, but He gives them some instructions as He's sending them off. Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick, nor sack, nor food, nor money, and let no one take a second tunic." Now, I'm going to stop here and just say that just listening to these instructions kind of makes me uneasy, because I'm the type who, when I'm going on a trip, I prepare and I over prepare and I make sure the T's are crossed, that the I's are dotted and everything is in order. And then as I'm headed out the door, you know, I haven't taken a trip in a long time because of travel restrictions and lack of speaking engagements, but whether I would be driving to a destination or driving to the airport, I'd always do a final check to look for my wallet, make sure I have my wallet because it's got my credit card, my driver's license. And then also I would make sure I have my cell phone and my cell phone charger. You know, these things that we can't do without, these essentials. So for me, and then there's a certain sense of comfort, kind of, because then I'd still be worried I would forget something. You know, when I travel, I'm a little bit uneasy that I would forget something, even if it's something that I could go to a store and purchase while I'm at my destination. Somehow I still get a little antsy when I travel. But Jesus is telling the apostles, guys, don't take anything with you. That's kind of unbelievable. That is sort of an unbelievable request, at least in my mind. I mean, He is really stretching these guys. And if I was in their shoes, if I was one of the original 12 apostles, that's a funny thought, isn't it? Although they were knuckleheads, so I certainly would meet the qualifications, I can see myself being the one who would say, come on, Jesus, does this really make sense? Is this a really good plan? How are we supposed to survive if we take nothing with us? That's how my words would be documented in the Bible if I was there 2,000 years ago. And Jesus goes on to say, whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them. Then they all set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. Now note that nobody questions this plan of Jesus. Take nothing with you. No food, no extra clothes, nothing. Now, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? And for those of us who would be, you know, you try to put yourself in that position today, going on a trip and you don't take your credit card, you don't take your cell phone, it seems insane. But really what Jesus was trying to do, he was training these guys. And part of what we have to remember is we're dealing with people who are not, you know, who are all at all levels of spirituality, who have never encountered the Messiah before. You know, he was new to them. This was all new to them. And he had to teach them. He had to show them who he was and what he was all about. One of the things he was trying to teach the apostles was to depend on God's providence, that the Father would provide. And this obviously is going to show them that God will provide because, you know, if you have a lot of possessions, if you have enough money, if you have your credit card, you will rely less on God and more on yourself. I know when I had a lot of money in the bank, when I was working in software, when I would pray the Lord's Prayer and use the words, "Give us this day our daily bread," I really didn't care one way or the other. I mean, I hate to say it, it sounds cold, but it's true, because I knew, or at least in my mind, I felt in control and that I had enough money to handle any problem that would come along. Once I got into ministry and I had to really depend on God's providence, it really stretched me. And, you know, I'll be honest, it still stretches me, much less today than it did 8 years ago when I started. I've seen God come through in my life so many times. I've told you the story. I've asked for your help with donations. You managed to come through for me. Speaking work comes through for me. Unexpected sources of income unexpected sources of income pop up all over the place, and they have been for 8 years, and the Lord is feeding us as a family because I'm trusting in him. I'm not perfect. I still struggle with this. I still want to take control of my life. And, you know, it's not just material things, or I should say it's not just money. It's health. It's the state of the world, the division. You know, it's very easy to become afraid and difficult at times for all of us to trust in God's providence. And Jesus knows that. And I really believe that's why he lets us go through some of these storms so that we get better at it. You know, if you're sailing under blue skies on a smooth sea and you have no storm, it's really impossible to practice your faith because there's nothing to ask for it, you know, at the moment. Everything's going good for you in your life. Well, I don't really need to trust God because I'm not scared. I don't have any problems. But the minute the storm picks up, or you're getting a hurricane or a tornado headed toward your house, or you have a major financial, an unexpected financial challenge or a health crisis, then it doesn't usually take people of faith very long to hit their knees and pray. So God, through these storms, helps us. He trains us. And I've gone on record saying I don't really like it, but I get it. I see the benefit of it, because we do tend to pray more earnestly, more sincerely when we have our backs against the wall and we realize that we are helpless. Which honestly is always the case, but we don't always realize it. But a good old crisis brings that out in us, and we tend to become aware of it. So if you don't have anything, such as in the case of the apostles, they were completely at the mercy of God to provide for them through other people, and that's what happened. And they did survive, and they learned a lesson. So let me read the first reading from today's Mass, because I think it complements the gospel nicely today. And I don't want to call this an accident. Now, you know, on Sundays, the first reading is picked generally to match the gospel. It's specifically chosen to tie up with the gospel and to illustrate a point, to emphasize something. During daily Mass, for the most part, there are exceptions if there's a special feast or a solemnity when the first reading is specifically chosen. For the most part, the first reading of the gospel, they just move along sequentially in ordinary time. They're not specifically married to one another. But there's always something to be found. There's always some connection. That's why I depend on the Holy Spirit to kind of point that out. And I did feel one this morning. So the first reading is from the book of Proverbs. It's Proverbs 30, verses 5 through 9. Let me read through it, and then I'll let you know what I'm thinking. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Add nothing to his words, lest he reprove you, and you will be exposed as a deceiver. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Put falsehood and lying far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Provide me only with the food I need, lest being full I deny you, saying, "Who is the Lord?" Or being in want, I steal and profane the name of my God. Now, did you catch the connection? Provide me only with the food I need. Give me neither poverty nor riches. So what Jesus is doing with the apostles is he's stripping them down. He's teaching them to depend on God's providence. Now, God is not going to give us too much, or too little. He's going to give us just what we need. We are not used to that. I personally would like to pray, give me for the rest of my life my daily bread. I have that tendency to not. You know why? Because you tell me if you don't feel this too sometimes. Let's be honest with each other, okay? We know each other. We're family. When I pray, give us this day, or give me this day my daily bread, I know that tomorrow I'm going to be dependent once again, and I will have to once again go to my Father and say, give us this day our daily bread. And again the next day, and again the next day. I'm going to have to trust every bit as much tomorrow as I do today. I think our human nature, for those of us who struggle with this, and I'm up there, I do struggle with depending on God. And again, I'm learning it, but I'm a work in progress still. I'm the type of person who would just like to say, all right, Lord, please give me what I need for the rest of my life. So then tomorrow, I don't have to worry about it because I already have everything. Isn't that funny? There is something about us, and you might not be the same way, but I have a feeling that we're a little similar there. There's something about human nature where we want to be self-reliant. We don't want to depend on anybody, including God, to provide for our needs because we feel that we can best provide for ourselves. I want to take care of it because I know it's going to get done right. So if I get food for the rest of my life, money to last for the rest of my life, then I don't have to worry about being dependent anymore. I don't have to trust because it's easier not to trust. You ever feel that way? And that's that. And the Lord knows that. That's why sometimes he lets us go through these challenging times. Not always, not for everybody. Everybody's got something because we're all at different places. But I can see the benefit of being forced every day to trust that God will provide for my needs. And that's what Jesus was doing to his apostles. They needed to learn that lesson. They needed to firsthand learn that lesson that God will provide. So how does this affect you? If you're struggling today, if you're looking at something in your life and you're thinking, I don't know where God is in this. I don't know. And we're not just talking money. I don't know how I'm going to get the strength to deal with this, whatever this is for you. We need to continue to ask. So whatever you do, continue to ask every day for what it is that you need. And believe that God will provide. And if I can help at all, I will tell you that I have seen this. I have found that the more you do it, the more you give him a chance to provide, the more he will provide. That does not mean that you don't have to do anything. As I said in my email devotional today, even the birds have to look for their worms. They don't get them automatically. The Lord provides, he feeds the birds, but the birds have to do a little work. So we have to do a little work. But he will provide in some way. He might send a person to provide. He might give you a job opportunity. He might, and again, I'm kind of talking about money here, but this could be any number of different things. You get a bad health medical diagnosis. How am I going to get through it? And then before you know it, you're making it through one day at a time. You're not losing your mind. You're peaceful. God provides the grace to deal with anything that he sends your way. So he will provide. I really believe that. I would ask you to keep trusting him. Do not stop asking, because that point was made clear several times throughout the Bible, especially by Jesus. He said, pray without ceasing. Keep going. Actually, St. Paul said that. But Jesus told the story about the persistent widow and the unrighteous judge. The widow kept pestering the judge. Eventually, the judge gave her what she wanted. And he pointed, he made the analogy to the Father and said, if an unjust judge would respond in this way, imagine how your Heavenly Father who loves you will provide. So keep asking for what you need. Keep trusting. And be expected to not always get everything you ask for, because we do ask for things that we don't need. And but it's a learning process. Be patient with yourself. This takes time to learn. We will be learning this for the rest of our lives, but it will get better, I promise you. If it got better for me, it will get better for you, and you'll learn to trust him more. You'll learn to pray big, and it's another thing we tend to do. Sometimes we hold back on our prayers. Ask for whatever you need. Give the Lord some room to work. Give him a chance to perform a miracle in your life. So whatever you're struggling with today, give him a chance to perform that miracle that you need, okay? All right, I'm going to go. I got to run. I got to get ready to do Catholic Answers Live. It was great being with you, and God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow on Following the Truth for the Thursday edition of the program. Hope you'll be able to join me. In the meantime, know that I'm praying for you. Also know that God will provide. Just give him a chance, okay? God bless you. See you next time.